this is a controversy that I think, you know, I was starting to message with friends last night. I'm like, okay, this has more legs than I might have originally thought, because we'd heard about this ban on keffiyehs in Queen's Park. They have obviously haven't considered it in the federal House of Parliament yet. And I'm not sure that's where the Liberals will go, given some of the votes and some of the rhetoric, and especially some of what we've seen and heard even recently from the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Melanie Joly. But where will this one go today? Marit Stiles says the ban's no good. The NDP leader, and then Doug Ford echoed, without quoting her, what Marit Stiles got out in front of at the beginning and said, no, I don't agree with this ban, from the Speaker of the House. Larissa Waller is an executive advisor at GT & Company Consulting Firm, and we always love having our conversations with her. Thanks for being on the show.
Good morning, Greg.
What do you think about this one? Is this a, I see both sides of it. The keffiyeh is obviously a, it has long, long history. And I would make the point, Larissa, a less toxic history than the last 7 months. I think it's fair to say that the symbol has been co-opted by people on our streets and people in the public eye that have used it for, I'd say, more nefarious purposes of intimidation.
I totally agree with you. I was looking at this last night, and I Googled the history of the keffiyeh to make sure that I understood, right? Because, well, you know, when I read this statement and when I was reading the commentary, everyone saying it's a religious and a cultural symbol, which it is. It's a cultural symbol more than a religious symbol. But right now, it's used to hide the faces of protesters who are calling for the destruction of the state of Israel and to kill Jews in our streets. That's what it's being used for. So I can understand why there's a huge segment of the population that feels really uncomfortable that people are allowed to wear this at Queen's Park.
What do you think will end up happening here? The specifics are Ted Arnett's the speaker and a fellow conservative MPP. And if Doug Ford says, hey, I don't like this, if Doug Ford says jump, will Arnett say how high on this one?
Yeah, I know this one. I mean, the dynamics at Queen's Park, the speaker is independent and Ted Arnett is a speaker who really adheres to that independence. Mm-hmm. I could spend 20 minutes explaining the dynamics there. But the decision's up to Ted Arnett. And remember that this is already being worn at Queen's Park. Sarah Jama, who was kicked out of the NDP caucus early on for, you know, her anti-Semitic rhetoric against Jews, wears the keffiyeh just about every day. I think what Doug Ford is also calculating when he put out his statement, if inevitably security at Queen's Park tries to tear a keffiyeh off of Sarah Jama, who's an elected member of parliament, you know, she might not like Jews, but she's an elected member of parliament from Hamilton. She's in a wheelchair. If security at Queen's Park tries to tear that off of her, you know, what's Doug Ford going to say then? They're using the keffiyeh as wedge politics. It's a perfect wedge issue. It's not about a scarf right now. It's about so much more. They're arguing this is about a scarf, a cultural symbol. The other side's arguing this is about a prop used in anti-Semitic protests, and that is very hurtful. So, you know, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't right now.
I think you are. I think you nailed it. And props are not supposed to be allowed in either federal politics. I would assume municipal politics as well, or provincial politics. I mentioned John Fraser just getting to you, and he brought out a can of gravy to document the Doug Ford gravy train in the Ford office with spending increasing. And I'm like, we can't start doing this. We can't have somebody who's pro-Israel show up dressed as a rabbi. Like, it can't be a costume party is the basic way I'm putting this. And it is leaning towards that direction in some of those isolated cases, Larissa.
I don't disagree with you, Greg.
So do you think this sits there then, or is this ban going to hold?
You know, I don't know. I'd be surprised if he reversed the ban, because the legislative rules around props is really clear. And when you wear, say, a button or like a ribbon at Queen's Park, you have to seek unanimous consent to wear that ribbon, because it's viewed, like if you wear a ribbon to support breast cancer, you have to seek unanimous consent to wear that ribbon, because the rules around props are so clear, right? And so I think, maybe Doug Ford and Merritt Stiles and even Bonnie Crombie, who also issued a statement calling on the speaker to reverse his ban, maybe they're resting on the fact that they know he won't because the rules are so clear.
Well, I'm glad you know the protocol, because if I wore a tiny flag of Israel, if I wore a tiny flag of Palestine, I need to get that signed off on if I'm a backbench MPP today.
Yeah, you need permission to wear any sort of display of any sort of political cause.
Yeah, I wonder about the process of that. I'm sure there've been people that have tried to do their own thing, and even if they're like, well, if it gets rejected, I can walk out to the microphones and cameras and say this got rejected, but I believe in the cause, and you're going to get more attention than if it didn't get rejected.
I mean, and your dream scenario is you get kicked out of the legislature for the cause, because then you're a martyr.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about this because I find it really fascinating. There's always speculation and some innuendo about next leaders for certain parties. We've seen it at the provincial level a bunch of different times. But Lawrence Martin in the Globe and Mail just laid it out there. The headline is Dominic LeBlanc wants his close friend Justin Trudeau's job. And it's really something in terms of detail. And I just look at it. I read it last night, Larissa, and I'm like, LeBlanc's got to figure out which one of his friends is doing the yap, 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 because it's very clear somebody had a ton of details about what LeBlanc wants to do.
Yeah, you know what's funny? Dominic LeBlanc's been one of these guys sort of in the back rooms, and his dad too, of the Liberal Party for such a long time. He's respected by every party. He's a longtime parliamentarian. So when you're talking about replacing Justin Trudeau, his name will inevitably come up. This article was like pretty detailed about the plan to come up. So that was surprising, but also not. I think if you replace the leader of the Liberal Party, you got to replace the policies. So if the article said Dominic LeBlanc wants to be the leader and get rid of the carbon tax, you know, my ears would perk up. But if it's just replace the leader of the Liberal Party, I don't think that's going to change their fortunes too much.
I got under a minute, but I remember being a kid in university, and obviously the late Brian Mulroney vacated, left, made a quick exit, and you had an interim leader in Kim Campbell. I can't picture that. I cannot picture Justin Trudeau not being there front and center in 2025 and running another election, whether it's going to be a blowout or not. But can you, when you read these stories?
So Justin Trudeau is a phenomenal campaigner, right? He's phenomenal at wedge politics. You see this budget that they just put out? This budget is a class war, right? And now we're talking about capital gains tax instead of the carbon tax, which impacts everybody. So he's a great campaigner. I think the Liberals' best shot at keeping as many seats as possible is with Justin Trudeau as their leader, and I think most Liberals believe that.
I agree. I know there's people saying, you'll do better if you get rid of him. I don't see it that way. And by the way, Larissa, to me, if you're Sean Fraser, Dominic LeBlanc, doesn't matter who wants the job, you want Trudeau to absorb this blow on his own. You don't want to be up there next September explaining why you got 50 seats and how you're going to fix it. You want to be the guy coming in or the woman coming in to fix it after the blowouts happen, to me.
Totally.
Larissa, thanks so much for the time today. Love our chats, and we'll do this more often. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
There's Larissa Waller joining us.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.